first thing earlier, I'm glad I only had one drink because, just to introduce this point, it's a global warming one. And I haven't read it in Cork before, but it said in Cork in the year 2047. Cork Christmas Panto 2047. Before the curtain at the Opera House. As the game is finally getting its comeuppance, and the cast play on to the brave ones who came out on a night like this, it seeps in. The noise of the orchestra and the soundproofing had drowned out the rising waters of the Lee. Usherettes rush with buckets and sandbags as it angers into the foyer, while round back it goes in the stage door, flooding the green room, rising to the dressing room. The global warms parked cars of the well-to-do families on their nights out is already under 10 foot. No going home tonight. No going home. And the second one is a lot lighter, and it's what I call a found poem. And if you remember, somebody like Alan Titchener or Tom would remember the John Bull magazine. Do you remember the John Bull magazine? Well, they must have been belonged to my father. There were 1956 editions of John Bull, and there was this full-page ad for tractors and farm machinery, and so it's practically almost word for word from the ad. Quality farm equipment since 1847. John Deere's restless mind and blacksmith skill made the first self-scouring steel plough strong, practical, efficient. It reflected the character of its maker. As the years passed, from other restless, searching minds steeped in John Deere tradition, have come better ploughs of many types, sizes, variations. High-speed, light-draft, moldboard ploughs, tough, durable disc ploughs, drawn, pick-up, semi-integral, two-way ploughs, all with the same honest quality that marked the first John Deere plough. Inventive genius, dedication to quality, the urge to fill agriculture's changing needs dominate today's worldwide John Deere organization. The character. The man still guides the restless mind of John Deere, the company. Better tools for every crop, every soil, every climate, every farmer. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks very much, Mud. It just pointed up to me there that there's a time Gwyneth's chariot is hurrying ever nearer, you know. So we're going to have to put in a one poem. What would you call it? A one poem sanction. I'm not sure what sanction is, but if you say more than one poem, terrible things happen.
Well, I apologise. I didn't know.
It didn't actually exist there, but it was.
Oh, that's your sense.
No,
yeah. You've been 4 minutes.
The Furies will not be unleashed upon you. But
that's right.
But
you're not going to hold with us.
Okay.
That's right. I've taken you up.
An inch square meat father is Louis Mackay.
Up in Limerick they have a similar evening, and the last time I was up there, heard my name mentioned, no resistance, loudly from behind. And where I come from, if your name is mentioned loudly from behind, the next thing you get is a rap in the neck or a hurt in the head. So I was a bit nervous, but just before the people behind left, the guy stuck his hand out and said, "Are you Louis Mackay?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Did you know my mother?" and he mentioned her name, and that was 40 years ago. I didn't tell him I knew his sister much better. I'm going back to the White House to read it. Oh, not going to. Attempting mortal sin. The innocence, forced innocence of 1959, when I lost my mind forever for an hour. To a green-eyed girl with red hair, the first to let desire peep out in laughter from behind her cold black eyes. Up against that back street wall, lips met lip in exploration, but I got very little further in the innocence, forced innocence of 1959. That little further that I mentioned was that while engaged in tasting, my knee boldly insistent gained a little penetration, an inch and a half, I'd swear, between her firm set knees. That was all that was an offer, but was more than I had ever imagined would be proper in the innocence, forced innocence of 1959.
Gormandos. Now, next up we have it's a great pleasure to welcome Oinu Moynihan. Thank you.
And I know this is flawed and damaged, but I'll have a go anyway. It's called Flashback in Anger, with apologies to John Osborne. And here we go. Rain veils the mountain, moves past my window, sheet-like, filmic. Last night we turned the clocks back, adjusted our quota of light, recession bites. It's been a strange week. Even here, so far west, we nod to the next parish across the water, more attuned to their election saga than our own dramas. We reel from the righteous wrath of pensioners unleashed in a Dublin church. Politicians routed as were Pharisees from the synagogue by an incandescent Christ. Elsewhere, a frame from a 50s camera flickers, is stilled. Yet, here they come again. A stately procession, bent shoulders, gnarled hands, clutching buckets, misshapen parcels, winding their way up that steep incline from the harbour. Everything they ever knew behind them now, an island sheeted in mist, empty, a mainland life ahead. Forever misfits, they grew old here, stooped over small fires. I doubt if any of them glimpsed the tiger's tail as it passed. Those who lived long enough to claim a medical card would scarcely have used it. Hardy to the end, they said little, so much, mulled over their memories, and moved on quietly when their time came. Meanwhile, the state battled for their island home, and sums inconceivable to them line legal pockets, alienate friends. They look back from the small pocket allotted to them in a hillside relic, from where perhaps they see it all differently now, have maybe finally unearthed their own ire. For me, my heart.
Vladimir Raganich, somebody you know who's his first time here at Old Vale in the Long Valley, Brian Ray.
Hello. I've never been here before, I've never done this before. You know,
welcome.
Thank you very much. Nice to be welcome. I ain't got much to introduce about it, but I'm just going to go whatever. this is called Mysterious Mindfulness. I never had it tried before, but it came to me a while ago and I feel like, that introduced some of it. Blue roots in the twisted carrot cake. Broom spritzels like butterscotch milkshake. Up on High Street they need to ventilate because the air is a cruel irony. Believe me, there ain't nothing prettier than burning Christmas trees except an angel and a shovel and a bag of lime, or an old clown singing summer wine, beating on a yellow bongo drum. Maybe he drank too much rum. The circus, they carried on the show, the elephants, they forgot to go. Well, she heard one about the left leg. God knows, he couldn't quite kick it. Going to the street to beg. I wouldn't hear him tell Jesus, go stick it. Party's nearly over. Smell of burnt toast and sparkling rover. Remember his chasing the flying frisbee and a border collie. Well, she's a fucking lesbian. With a collar chain and a wagon tail. One time could have been something more than a bad dream. Blue roots, black boots, couldn't give two boots about no social society.
Yeah, I think you all agree that was pretty damn funky, so that was for the first time, that was great writing. And knowing somebody who is no stranger to the microphone here, Miriam Casey.
Sunstroke. As nudist in my shadow personal growth, though it struck me, I felt intimately loath to loathe my lashes for the shame and the sun.
Thanks very much, Miriam. And Colin Scully next.
A couple of weeks ago, and she said she writes poems, her poetry about time. So I said, I do too sometimes, but I think she read a poem a couple of weeks ago, so this is one of my poems about time. Voyage into nothingness, or the first interstellar mission to the edge of the universe to verify the existence of nothing. Cushioned by an unconscious fate in existence, and propelled by a series of nuclear jets, we enter that zone referred to as the universe's edge. Streaks of light collided behind us. Star clusters and planetary systems grew fewer and fewer, till our ship stalled motionless amid the dank emptiness. Penetrative remarks were passed as to the character of this nothing, and some avoiding ages even knelt down in abject prayer. I climbed up to the viewing tower alone and recited shallowly into my dictaphone the following verse. We now are the universe, within a staggering nothing cage. How did this place resplendent live before we entered on its stage? It sat alone, unkindled light, a pretense for a thing to come. We travelled here, not knowing that, and made our fusion with that one. An unrequested voyager, time sailed with us to foil our plans. We gazed and saw our nothingness, diminished by its fragile hands. Thank you.
That's ominous slashing there meant last call, I think, so. It's use it or lose it, people. Yeah, so the list doesn't seem to get any shorter, but time seems to be slipping away. So I'll just kind of re-emphasize the need to sort of not go on too long, you know what I mean? Like, is everyone comfortable with that?
Yeah.
All right. I've lost my place now. Oh yeah. Joel.
Hello. Good evening. Now this is another extract from the diaries of Mabel Gonal, teacher. And she writes letters to the principal, you know, and outlining what's happening. And last week, an inspector came to the school and was tied up by the pupils in the loo, and May had to resuscitate him. So, dear principal, 235, have just commenced with 682, not wanting to daunt them in the early stages of the class, I simply requested them to write down the poems in the poetry book into their copies. Sadly, some of them seem daunted by even this. Now, John Kennedy looks quite drowsy, and I'm convinced he's on something. I think I am onto something all right there, because we're talking ease here, maybe principal hash, crack, or heroin. Dope, principal. Dope. He looks a right dope too, but we leave that for the moment. On the other hand, it might just be Jameson's or Smirnoff or Bacardi. I'm afraid to approach too near, as he might become irascible, or I might become intoxicated myself from the mere fumes that he may be exuding. Luckily, he's sitting alone down in the left-hand corner of the room. I hope he stays there. 254. No sign of the inspector. This doesn't really surprise me. As you know, it was I who revived him and brought him down and left him with the secretary, who put him sitting, more slumped really, outside your door. As soon as I heard the ambulance siren about 20 minutes ago, I immediately suspected that he must have taken a turn for the worst. His treatment in the loo at the hands of those miscreants we call pupils was inexcusable. It really is no surprise that he might not have felt able to continue with his inspections in St. Ghetto High. By the way, it has just occurred to me, principal, that maybe the name of the school, Ghetto High, might seem to encourage the pupils to smoke joints. Perhaps you should put it to the board that a name change might help. It's unbelievable, really, isn't it, what happened to that inspector? Really, if he can't stand the heat, he should get out of the kitchen. And he is being required to teach, and he cracks up after a few hours in the place. It serves him right, in my view. How dare he go round the country snooping on teachers? How dare you invite him to come and snoop on me? You did invite him, didn't you, Wiggy? Now don't bother denying it. And frankly, if ever try anything like that again, I'll have to blow the whistle on you. Oh yes, I'll be telling the inspector about that time last Christmas when you were swinging that pupil out the window and other sundry manoeuvres of yours which, if exposed to the naked glare of public scrutiny, might not appear paternal or protective. So please, principal, no more spies in the classroom. You yourself are welcome any time, but frankly, there's such a backlog of things that you should have been dealing with over the years and never did. I fear that your reception in the classroom might be chilly. 310. Kennedy is gone. Remember the boy John Kennedy on drugs or something? Well, he's gone from the corner. 311. Ah! I've just seen a face glaring in at me through the window. It's Kennedy. How could that be? How could he have got across the classroom without my seeing him? He must have crawled on his belly under the pupils' desks like a lizard. But how did he get the window open without my noticing? Unless it was when I was over in the other corner of the room putting out the fire in the waste paper bin. That must have been when he made his exit all right. He's crawling along the ledge. I think he's been watching too many Dracula films. I think he's going to try to fly. I fear he may not succeed. I wonder, should I try to talk him down, as they say, or talk him in, I suppose it would be, or talk him out of it, whatever. What do you think? 312. I think I will. Sure, I've nothing to lose. Only a pupil who is high on drugs and high on a window ledge. I wonder what I'll say to him. I know. Hi. Your irrepressible teacher, Maeve. Lifesaver.
We'll just move straight on to the next installment. Seamus Harrington, tonight's victor in the Playboy Challenge.
Thank you. Anybody here from Kenmare?
No.
That's okay. Kenmare. He met her inside in Kenmare. This lifekeeper knew solitaire, cause there was no doubt he had gone without. Her flat had a circular stair. Full street, still at bay, without one reservation. Campers roam freely. And maybe about 3 to 4 weeks' time, hanging from lampposts, lost election candidates outlasting the storm. The gambler for speed was renowned. High stakes, but brakes let him down. The coroner's jeep, his bikes in a heap. At last, his desserts came around.
Seamus the Fury is going to be unleashed very soon now.
And last one, the pharmacy. We'll be more careful. We care most for the needy. We dispense with care. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sorry for rushing you there. Sue Cotter.
Yay!
This is a poem of a piece of art by Marcel Duchamp. He was an early 20th century painter and was very influential at the time. This is New Descending Staircase, 1912, and you can see it's based on stop motion photography. New Descending Staircase. A face refracted by cubist hands, a brush cracked savage, a scissor I sit while you, a stab, a smash, arrayed me till I am but rattled gibbet of flesh. My shushulating tresses that weave a thousand stories flash, by your brush stained god now revealed, a final whimper from tender neck. A scissor I sit, I stand, I walk, descending in self to myself, leaving my body segmented, clay. Brushes crawl discarded, spokes of light dissect, slime cushions of paint. I gasp at the feel of your hands, so cool with brush, so gentle with touch, two hot, leaping skins. I ascend, I step back to the light. From there, I leap, leaving my body in canvas to weep.
Okay, here we are. Sorry, I just lost my place there for a second. Could you watch?
Have they shortened between the 50 occasion? This isn't actually advertising, man. I'm still working on it. This at the expense of look and glory, cracked skull in repair. is extremely hesitant to swallow the kiss. What? But your alcoholic joy, does that belong to you? No, it was stolen from me. What would I want to meditate? Temporarily vanquish all my thoughts when I can no longer think of you. I am no more than an intruder, taking folly from the breast of love from the traitor. I want to get to know you more, for you to become the size of my enemy, so that I can vanquish you both, and mock the meat I feed upon. Love, what did it mean to you when you opened your diary to me? What do you like? What am I like? Am I so stupid to think I deserve love from anyone? Don't leave me to humiliate myself any longer, if you don't feel the same. But if so, thank you for your cooperation. Thank you.
Thanks very much. excuse me for a second there. Okay. Mary, 2000.
This is for Tom. It's called Royal Flush. It's square, quite grey, and stands outside the city library. The new public convenience is not exactly free. Drop 20 cents into a slot, and you, as well as me, along with Michelle Pfeiffer, can have a silent pee. Consumed by curiosity, I ventured towards the door. A girl emerged, so I went in, but didn't know the score. I hadn't read what I should do, nor put in 20 cents. In fact, I wondered if by chance I'd gone into the gents. The automatic door slid shut. I pressed the special lock, then lowered myself onto the bowl, but got a nasty shock. A lever shot out from the wall and pushed against my arm. My jeans were round my ankles as I rose up in alarm. Then water spurted everywhere and drenched me down below. I hadn't even pulled a chain that might induce the flow. While locked inside the steely tomb, I wrestled out of sight with sopping tights and handbag, but got another fright. While doing my best to button up, the automatic door began to open inch by inch. I sank down to the floor. If you use this mad contraption to avoid looking a freak, you should study the instructions before you take a leak.
Yes. John? John, I can't read. Is that your sorry, John Minahan? No.
Which one is this? There, O'Reardon.
He's O'Reardon, sorry. Pardon me. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, Don O'Reardon.
It needs a small bit of explication. It was written in dire anger 2 or 3 years ago. There's a reference to €1,500, and that would have been the average type of amount listed by Frank Dunlop in his disbursements to councillors. In early 2005, a simple antique bucket fetched, this is not the form, this is just the inch, fetched an obscene €195,000 at a Dublin auction room. And it's reported that the winning bid and that of the underbidder came from property speculators. So the poem is worth a cost. Tell me, what does a house cost? It costs two arms, plus two legs, plus the sweat of two brows, plus two lives mortgaged, up to two necks, plus two sweet young things straight-jacketed, plus two noses to the grindstones, indentured and scraped by demands. Tell me, what profits a house? It profits one brass-bound bucket. Tell me what a house costs. It costs congestion in airless city cells too minute for cats, or it costs the life on the move to Atai, RD, or Arklow, trafficking in disjointed desperation from before light to after the somber setting of the sun. Tell me what it profits a house, a home. It profits an antique brass-bound bucket. What does a politician cost? He costs 1,500 euros, paid by a property speculator. What does he do for 1,500 euros? He does nothing. Nothing but connive at speculation and put money in the speculator's purse. And what does the politician's nothing profit? It profits a Georgian antique brass-bound bucket.
Thank you very much.
Was that your first time reading your name?
Yeah. Very impressive. Very impressive. We hope to hear more. I hope to hear more. So we're down to the last two, maybe three people now, depending on time. So one of our regulars and somebody who's worked out by more interesting all the time, personally, Breen Buffy.
Just as through sand at ocean's bottom, lines appear once dust has settled, two eyes screw tight to other features absent. Moon's face underwater, having pierced the seal of surface of sea, to fall like a stone off water's slick edge, to lie flat on the bottom. No longer round, but flat like the world had been, before it was blown up like a soccer ball, tossed around for our viewing. Colours at edges invade its grey surface, vie for attention. Craters and mountains swirl themselves into vision, waves vibrate around its stillness, till it can no longer resist, surrenders its blindness to beauty, eyes flicker open, the moon fills with breath, breaks its way back to the surface, adorned and full-featured, streamlines the sea with splashes of silver, taunts the torn sky with unbridgeable distance.
So next up we have the John Drayton of East Cork, Christy Parker.
A lucky man that John Drayton is in the house tonight. I was going to read one poem now, but I decided to read a different poem today in lieu of our guest Tom McCarthy tonight. Because I spend some time passing through Westwater, and I'm going to fucking say it, I just passed through it, you know. Because I go out to this water conference meetings every month in my journalistic capacity, because I don't get out in Tara. So I often wonder what it's like to live in Tara. I wrote this poem as a speculative guest as to why he would. Tara, by the way, is a small place. It's not so much a one-horse town, it's a one-horse fair town, which occurs every September on the first Monday of the month, if anybody wants to avoid it for that reason. And, wondering, as I passed through, what it would be like to live in Tyler. This happened to me before, didn't it? Couldn't find the fucking poem. I introduced it. God, this is from my collection, by the way, of Don't Step Into Poems, which I published myself under the...
That's better enough.
I know, yeah. I know, I'm going to find the bloody poem. I had something handy a while ago. This is on... Hose arms press, by the way. Right, so hello. Me man is in the ITA, me dad is in the bookies. Me brother drives a line to Brindisi. Me sister shares a caravan with a brickie in Dungarvan. And I just hang around here and take it easy. Some people say I'm lazy, and if you guys think I'm crazy, because I have a hobby, counting cows. Did you know so far today, 32 have passed this way. Plus 3 pet cheese with sexy kangaroo bars. I know
The way I was born in downtown Cataquin. I spent 2 years in Tramore and 2 more in Knockanore, but small town life was doing my head in. Come Friday night, I changed my shirt and I hitch a lifty yawl for some cider and some quality temptation. But I find the girls in Tallow are a virgin on the shallow. But the chicks in yawl have got sophistication. I had a girlfriend once, she was deadly at Camogie. I knew the night we met that she would score. But the memory still hurts of the night she swapped her shirt with a beard that fucking bounced off on Cashmore. But I'm proud to be a fellow from South Tallow, but traffic lights are nowhere to be seen. Cause they're just a bloody crust if you're sitting on a horse who's colourblind and can't tell red from green. I like counting beans and toast to keep it having practice as soon as Nanny has me breakfast made. Then after I am fed, I leap straight out of bed and count how many eggs the hens have laid. I got a job that summer as assistant to a farmer, but on the very night that I was hired, he told me count the sheep, but it made me fall asleep. And he woke me up to tell me I was fired. But it's fun to be a fellow from South Hallow, cause there's lots of counting here to keep me busy. There are 30 trees arrived, and it's only 5:30. The place today is going to make me dizzy. I'm proud to be a fellow from South Hallow. I hate to be a culchie from this moor. Now I have to go uptown and get a pen to write things down. Cause we're going to be a thank you.
Well, someone's got to follow that, and the person with that dubious honour is our professor in residence. Also, our singing song in residence, Andy. Yeah.
Billy confined us to one poem, but he doesn't know that I've a new version of the Divine Comedy. just purgatory, not the one of it. And also, I was just say actually that you said one poem, but you didn't say you couldn't have translations, and I have actually a poem by Gabriel Rosenstock that he sends poems around the internet all the time. And I got a poem from the other day which is in Irish, Russian, German, Croatian, Latin, Bulgarian and various other languages. So I'll read a few of them, so need one poem, no I won't. I'll read the Irish version first, which he did, and strange to say there was no English version of it, so I might read the English, which I did myself, badly as usual. So the Irish is, can I say, what is it? Shafoi de shahe adarun reasum, che efene adarun gra, kubish de shahe adarun kuntus, ninaunach arin adarun agala, tashe by leiste adarun pishkint, che efene adarun gra, tashe al feshach adarun tuor, tashe skatahe adarun terathus, tashe by yant adarun tahi, che efene adarun gra. And the English version, which is the part it's my own version, what is it? It is just shite, says the voice of reason, but it's only itself, says the voice of love. It is a disaster, says the measure of calculation. It is only a spasm, says the twang of fear. It is incurable, says the brain of understanding. It is only itself, says the tongue of love. It is entirely ridiculous, says the height of pride. It is watery dispersed, says the note of caution. It is totally impossible, says the worldly word, but it is only itself, says the breath of love. I don't think I'll try the other version. You don't want to hear the Russian?
Go on, go on.
No, I'm going to indulge myself. I'm going to do it because I'm going to do the Scots Gaelic version. Because nobody knows. and I had a version, I handed this as well. So, like the Irish, but somewhat different. Dehan. Dehan Scuddle, ha keel a ra. She anna chahain a chum sa graag. She an dorin a chun sa graag. She anna chahain a chan sa tegel. Ha chave leis a chan sa tigse. She anna chahain a chan sa graag. Sa anna chai gorach a chan sa tarban. Ha schaft a chan sa peritas. Ha chave dielu a chan sa fistachog. She anna chahain a chan sa graag.